Okay, so we're holding on Kofa Modalis by the Mishnah. This Mishnah doesn't really have anything directly to do with the subject of our parak, which is the Shomrim, Shoyl, and the other Shomrim, but it's a case similar to what we had before, where you had claims and counterclaims, and where you have a case of Yachloku, according to Sumchus. So now we have a similar kind of thing, another case of Toyin V'Nitan, where there's opposing claims, and we're not sure, we'll see in the Gemara what the claims are, whether they're Bori, whether they're Shema, or whatever, and what ends up happening. So the Mishnah says, Amachas Pada B'Chamor V'Yolda, if one person exchanges his cow for somebody else's donkey, and it, whichever one of the animals, gave birth, V'Chena Moicha Shifcha V'Yolda, or the same thing, somebody sells his Shifcha, and she gave birth, the one says that it happened, the seller says that it happened before I sold it. So therefore the baby still belongs to me. You bought mother animal or shifcha, but I own the baby. The baby, yeah. And the other one says it happened after I bought it. So therefore I'm zoche in the child and then baby and as well. Yachloku, then they split the value of it. Yachloku, by the way, doesn't mean here in Shlomo Amalek's thing where you take a sword. No. no, Yachloku as far as the value of it.
Yeah. Can you go over it?
We were saying, Hamachas Pada B'Chamor, if somebody exchanges a cow for a donkey or sells its shifcha and it gave birth, and we're not sure whether the birth happened before or after the chalit. So Rashi points out, the reason why we have to mention Hamachlis on a straightforward level is because with Mois, it doesn't work. You need Meshicha. And if you did Meshicha, you'd know. When you did Meshicha, you'd know whether the animal had given birth at that point or not. Therefore, it has to be Kinyan Chalifin. So therefore, you only have to do Meshicha on one member of the pair. You do Meshicha on the Chamor, for example, and your Kona the Parah, or vice versa. And therefore, it's conceivable that you could have that now you don't know when the animal gave birth. Whereas as far as a shivcha, it mentions the case where you sold it, because fine, a shivcha is an eved can be bought, the kesef. As soon as you give the money, then yeah.
I mean, you would know when you gave the money that she's either had pregnant or she has a baby.
No, but that's the thing, you may not. If you're here, you can give the money in one place, and the shivcha can be someplace else.
Why can't you do that with an animal?
Because with an animal, giving money doesn't affect a kinyan. Making a shivcha affects the kinyan. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I agree. I just caught what you're...
Okay. Yeah. There is, by the way, this is one of those cases of Dinim Mamonis that is brought in a lot of places in Chassidus as a typical example of the kind of thing. The Rebbe first brings it in Tanya, and from there it's brought in many places in Chassidus as a typical example of the kind of thing where you have Torah, which is Chochmos, Ritzon Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's vested in Dvarim Gashmiim, and therefore, you know, when you think about the Parah and the Chamor, you have in there, in this situation, is the Eivishter's Chachma, but it's not so obvious when you look at the actual written case.
Mm.
There is, as far as this particular thing of Hamachas Pada B'Chamor, there is an explanation that's brought in a variety of places in Chassidus about the deeper meaning of it, how they learn this kind of sugya in Gan Eden, where they don't have cows and they don't have donkeys and whatnot. That a cow and a donkey represent two different types of avodah. A cow is a kosher animal. We're learning in Tanya these days that kosher things can mean it's Allah. There's some klipas noga. They can be elevated to ruchnius. So therefore, para represents the kind of avodah just where a person can go the regular straight way in doing the avodah. A chamur is, number one, a treif animal. And number two, it's a symbol of coldness. Chamur of its korpus tamud's career, like the Gemara says, a donkey feels cold even in the heat of the summer. So it represents not only anti-kedusha, but also the coldness to kedusha, which is the root of all that. So what happens, but on the other hand, a chamur is a beast of burden. It represents Kabbalah Tov. Next week's parasha, for example, Yaakov compares Yisachar to a donkey that carries a load. So therefore, the idea is if you have a person who's on the level of the avodah of a para, doing the avodah in the straight, normal, standard operating procedure, but he exchanges it for the avodah of chamur, as in, I'm going to go beyond that, I'm going to go with the avodah of the Siddus Nefesh, the yolda, then there can be a baby, you have a gain out of that you didn't have before. You gain something from reaching that next level that you wouldn't have otherwise had when you just had the para.
Wow. The question begs to be asked. If that's the case, that since the chamer is oil malchus, right? How can it be a fresh animal?
But the fact of the matter it is, because it represents that coldness. You can't because you have, you know, the Alter Rebbe is also talking about in Tanya these days that even the things that are osur in the world, there's no, you can't raise them up to kedusha using the standard operating procedure, but you can through truva me'ava, that which kind of bypasses the normal way of doing things. Person ate something chafe, and then he ends up doing tremendous truva me'ava. He winds up elevating that, even though under normal circumstances it would have been from shalosh kibbutz atmeis and can't. So therefore, it represents an avoda completely beyond l'may l'mitam v'daf, which is what Kabbalah Soil is all about. Okay, back to the Mishnah. So Yachloku, so they split the value of the baby. Another case, Hoyle Beis Avodim, Echad Godo V'Echad Katan, if a person had two slaves, one an adult and one a child, V'chein Beis Sodas Achaz Zolav Achaz Kana, where we had two fields, a large one and a small one, and he sold one of them, and we're not sure, now there's an argument which one he sold. Halakeach HaMegodo Lakasti, the Lakeach says I bought the bigger, or the older one, V'Halo'im Eini Yedea, and the seller says, I'm not sure. So the first case of the Mishnah on the face of it was talking about body or body. We're going to talk about the Gemara, whether it is or not. The second case is body b'shema. The Lekeach is claiming body. I definitely bought the bigger one. The Moicher is saying shema. Maybe I'm not sure. Zocha b'gadol, so then the Lekeach is entitled to get the bigger one. If it's the other way around, HaMoicher HaMekotan Mechati, if the Moicher is making the tiny body, I definitely sold the small one, V'haloyim Eini Yedea, and the Lekeach says, I'm not sure. Ainley Alakotan, then he's only entitled to the cotton. And by the way, since we're talking about Avodim and Sodis over there, there's no issue of Oina either. You can't say, first of all, there's a Macholikus in Baba Basra anyway, whether we say Adamim Medim, whether when you're selling, you have Macholikus between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda over there, let's say you sell a yoke for an inflated price, do we assume that the oxen automatically go along with it? Because why would you pay such a huge amount just for a yoke? And the Chachamim say, "Ain't Adamim Medim," and that's no proof because he may have wanted to overpay him for other reasons. Here, but you could talk at least over there whether you have a concept of Oina or not. Here, since we're talking about fields and Avodim, Oina doesn't apply anyway, so you can't prove anything from that either. Anyway.
Oina would be greater than a sixth.
Oina would be greater than a sixth, as we learned back in Adar, yeah. Okay. Zerim a god of Zerim a cotton. What if both of them are making a tiny body? I definitely sold you the small one. I definitely bought the large one. Yishava mecher, sha cotton macher. Then the seller has to swear that he sold the smaller one. As we'll see in the Gemara, the Well, no, because you're tiny body. But well, Zerim a any adev, Zerim a any adev. If both of them say I don't know, then yachlo. That's what we're going to have to discuss, what Sumpah holds. Right. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Amai yachloiku. Why should we say in the various cases of our Mishnah that yachloiku, the hamaklus part of a hamur, the shifcha, and the ezem eni adev, ezem eni adev? Why should we say yachloiku? The less the birushus, the man kaima. Why don't we say fine? Let's take the part of a hamur case. Let's see in whose rishus at that time the animal or the shifcha is standing. And then he has a chazak on it. And the other one should have to bring a proof if he wants to be able to take it. That's Amar of Chia Ba'ab, not Rosh Hashanah necessarily, but you don't even need that. Amar of Chia Ba'ab and Amar Shmuel, but in Medes Ba'agam. You could be talking about that the animal was in the meadow, which is a hefker place, when it gave birth. Shifcha Nami, the time of the Simta, and similar to the Shifcha, you can have that she's standing in a side street. Which is but the point is it's the kind of place where typically animals and avodim are sold. They're not usually sold in the middle of Rosh Hashanah. It's too busy. They're sold like on a side street, a corner. Rashi says near Rosh Hashanah. Or whatever. Yeah, the point is that it's a neither one's Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, Tosfos discusses over here that there is a concept that we say that creatures that are able to move about on their own, even if they're in your Rishus, that doesn't make a chazaka on them because they could have just wandered in there on their own. I go to the same chazaka. We mentioned it briefly in Baba Kama. We mentioned it briefly in Baba Kama. We'll learn more about it in Baba Basra.
Here, that's in your.
If he's sick,
and he's
well, that was Kinyan Chotzer. That's Kinyan Chotzer.
If he's running, then you can't claim it.
That's Kinyan Chotzer. That's a different issue. Here we're talking about Chazaka. If there's an object in my Chotzer, I have a certain Chazaka on it. Not even necessarily because of Kinyan Chotzer, but just because what is your thing doing in my Chotzer? The Chotzer must be mine. On the other hand, if it's a Goydris, if it's a creature that can move around independently, then you don't. Then that's not enough to create a Chazaka because it could have just wandered in. So, Okay, so in the case of the baby over here, fine. A baby of a shifcha obviously can't move around, but a baby animal could. Okay, so Tosfos discusses that a little bit. That there is a difference over here. This is a case called, we learned back at the very beginning of the Masechta, this is a case called Dror de Mamona, which is the suffix that we have is independent of their claim. The suffix does not come about because of their claims, like in the beginning of the Masechta, Shneimros and the Talus,
right,
where they both walk in holding the talus, and if it weren't for that, there wouldn't be a suffix. Here, the suffix is intrinsic. The animal gave birth. We kind of don't know whether it was before or after. Okay. Fine. So now the question is, okay, so you don't have a chazaka, because it's not in any one or the other's reshus, so you can't say that you do that. But let's try a different kind of chazaka. Why don't we use the chazaka of the original owner, meaning the mocher has the chazaka that up until now the shifcha belonged to him, and the unborn baby did too, or the same thing with the animal. So therefore, so it's a weaker kind of chazaka, but nevertheless, it's a chazaka. Say that, and then say that the other one has to bring proof. The answer is Hamani Sumchosi. Yes, but our Mishnah goes according to Sumchos, Dama Mamana Multiba Safak Chok and Below Shavua. He says that when you have a Safak on money, then you divide it without a Shavua, and that's the situation over here. Okay, the question is, Amr Dama Sumchos B'Shema B'Shema. Okay, we can say that Sumchos said that when both of them are making Shema claims, but Bori Yubori Miyomar, but in the first part of our Mishnah, Ze'oma Adshala Machati V'Ze'oma Mishalakati, it sounds like both of them are making Bori claims. Does Sumchos also say then that you just divide it without a Shavua? We talked about it at the beginning of the Masechta in connection with Shneimos and the Talos that we said there that each one has to swear. Amar Rav Bar Rav Huna, Ein. So Rav Bar Rav Huna says, yes, as a matter of fact, yeah. Amar Sumchus Afilu B'Bori Yubori. Yes, Sumchus would hold of his opinion even in a case of Bori Yubori. Okay, so Tosfos points out, the Gemara did not take back the answer that it said before about that the animals and the agam or whatever. You need both, in other words. According to Tosfos, it comes out you need both. When neither one has a chazaka, and even though you have bari or bari, then he will say chokin. But if one or the other of them had a chazaka, or like at the beginning of the Masechta, the Talmud, where both of them have a chazaka, that's different.
So why can't we say here that we go back to the initial chazaka?
That's the thing, because at this point we don't have a chazaka. Neither one has a chazaka on it. That's the point. We don't have. That's the thing. Chazaka that it's in your property is a strong chazaka.
Right.
A chazaka of marakama is a weaker chazaka.
But it's a weaker chazaka,
especially because it may not even apply to the baby, some of the Rishonim say, because when you get down to it, the baby wasn't born yet. The baby wasn't born yet at the time. You can say cheskes marakama on the mother, fine. It's a little harder to say cheskes marakama on the baby where it didn't exist yet in the world. We don't know whether it existed in the world yet before the sale. But anyway, that's a weaker kind of chazaka. Therefore, Sumchus will say, never mind that chazaka, such as it is. The fact is, it's not in either one of their possession right now. So even though they're claiming bari and bari, then yeah.
No chazaka.
Then yeah.
And that would only work if there was a certain chazaka.
Well, in this case, there may be chazaka smarakama, but that's not yet.
You'll find it under my coat. Yeah.
Okay. Rava Omar, Rava answers no. La'olam kiyama sumchus shema v'shema. No, as a matter of fact, never mind all that. Let's say that sumchus only says his din when it comes to shema v'shema. Aba bari u bari lo yomar. As a matter of fact, it's true. Sumchus would not hold that yachloiku in a case of bari u bari, regardless whether there was a chazaka or not. The tani, and in that case, you have to reinterpret the Mishnah. Not that each one is making a tainus bari in the first case of a makor part of a chamar, but rather that each one is making a tainus shema. Zayim a shema ad shalom achati, zayim a shema mishalakati. It's not like either one. According to Rava, neither one is saying I know for sure the animal gave birth before or after the kinyan, as the case may be. Each one of them is saying, I argue it may have been the case. Neither of us knows, fine, neither of us were there. We don't have watches or whatever, but I claim that it may well have been, and therefore I should be entitled to it. The other one claims, so therefore, Sumchus would say in that case, because, again, you don't have, neither one is muchzik in it. Neither one is muchzik, and it's Shem as opposed to, according to Rava, if it was Bari or Bari, then Sumchus would not say, then Sumchus would not say Yachloku. Then Sumchus would say that, you have to, okay, if it's in the chazaka of one of them, obviously it goes to him. And if not, fine, we'll have to fall back on chazaka's marakama.
which is what
the Chazaka that the Chazaka that previously the Shivko or the Sparta or whatever belonged
only in
Shema V'Shema. And as a matter of fact, actually, well, we'll continue the discussion now, but as a matter of fact, the Rambam does Paskin like Sumchus, how only in the case where you have both, where it's Shema according to Rava's way of looking at it. It's Shema V'Shema, and it's a Medes V'Agam or what have you, so there's no, it's not Mukhsus by either one of them. There's no Chazaka of possession right now. There's at best Chazkas Marokama, and it's Shema V'Shema. Some of the Forshim on the Rambam discussed why exactly we would say that. Lechora, usually we don't say the halacha is like Sumchus. One of the answers is that, yeah, he holds that what Rava is saying here in the Gemara is not just to try and explain our Mishnah. Rava actually means it, a liver to Hilchasa. That's meant to be the actual final halacha.
This is the most clear case that makes the most sense I've ever heard about Sumchus.
With that said, many other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam even on that. They say even in that case, the halacha wouldn't be like Sumchus. The halacha would still have to be like the Chachamim that Hamoitz Machaber Levaraya.
Because
nevertheless, we don't say Momen HaMutar B'Safek Token. The only way we would say Momen HaMutar B'Safek is if there's absolutely no Chazaka, and it's Shema V'Shema, and there's Dror D'Mamayin, or whatever, then yes.
As soon as there's
any kind of Chazaka, then yes.
Then you have to...
So in fact, the Shulchan Aruch brings both opinions. Okay, so now that we have the two opinions, let's see how they work with our mission. Now, the Mishnah had continued, that if both of them say, in the last case of the Mishnah, with the large or the small field or Eved, each one says, I don't know, we said, Yachloik, Bishlema the Rava, so we can understand the Mishnah well according to Rava. Midasefa, Shema V'Shema, Reshanami, Shema V'Shema. Given that the last case of the Mishnah necessarily is a case of Shema V'Shema, and we say there, Yachloik, presumably the earlier case of the Mishnah, when it said Yachloik, is also talking about a Shema V'Shema case. So the two cases are exactly parallel.
So why do we need both being Shema V'Shema?
Because there's a difference between there where you have it's one entity, one baby that you're arguing about versus over here. There's a large and a small. Where you could argue, as the Gemara will discuss later, that it's Lechora a case of Tanim Chit Mahogel Besorim. I'm claiming one thing, and you counterclaiming that I owe you something else.
You couldn't learn that from the first case?
No, because the first case, you have one baby that either is mine, it's either mine or yours. Whereas here you have, I'm claiming that you owe me the big Eved, you're counterclaiming you only owe me the small one. That's called Mashatana Lehoidala, yes. Okay. Ela l'Rav Barav Huna, d'Oma'ein afilu sumchus afilu bari u'bari, but according to Rav Barav Huna, who understands the case of Hamachlis Bar B'Chamer to be talking about bari u'bari, then we have to ask, what do we need? The second case of the Mishnah. If Sumchus says that even in a case of one kindness bari against the other, he'd still say Yachloiku. Rather than saying Hamoitzi Machaveh Olavaraya, or Yehei Munachav Shiyaveh Eliyahu, or what have you, how much more so when it's Shema V'Shema? So what would you need? The last case of the Mishnah at all, according to Rav Baravona's understanding.
So much more so for what?
How much more so than a case of Shema V'Shema, Sumchus would say Yachloku.
Because
there's less of a reason to think. When each one is making a tainus bari, that's a stronger claim. There's a reason to argue, well, each of them is making a definite claim. Therefore, we can't just say Yachloku because, as we discussed again back at the beginning of the Masechta, on the face of it, then it comes out no matter what. You're doing something unfair. Either one of them is entitled to the entire thing, or he's not. What kind of you're splitting it, and it comes out each one is only getting half of what he should be getting.
So in that case, then if you're saying that so much more so in Shema Shema,
no, not yes, how so much so then that's the question.
So
why do we exactly? That's the question of the Gemara. Why according to Rav Baravona does the Mishnah have to give us the last case at all?
Yeah.
The answer is imishum lahola yuria. If that's your question, then that's not a major objection. That's not a serious objection because Tana seifa legaluya resha. Because we could say that the Tana taught us the last case in the Mishnah of Shema V'Shema legaluya resha to clarify what the resha is talking about. To clarify that we are talking about two different cases. Shaloi toima resha Shema V'Shema av bori bori loy. Don't think that the first case in the Mishnah of Hamach Lefar of Hamur is talking about Shema V'Shema, implying that if it was bori bori, the din would be different, according to Sumchus anyway. Tana Sefer, Shema V'Shema, therefore, according to Rav Barahona Fakev, the fact that the Mishnah ends off with the Shema V'Shema case, Miklal, the Reisha Bari Yabari, the implication is the first part of the Mishnah must be talking about Bari Yabari. So not like Rava would say that once we say that Sefer of the Mishnah is talking about one case, the Reisha must be talking about a parallel case, also Shema V'Shema. Fakev, Rav Barahona would take the view, if the Sefer is talking about Shema V'Shema, that's to tell us, that to clarify, therefore, that by comparison, by contrast, the Reisha is talking about Bari Ubari. We call the Reisha Bari Ubari, so we see from that that the Reisha is Bari Ubari, because otherwise there's no Chiddush in the Sefer. And nevertheless, we see they divide it, so we see it, so that's how Rabbi Barav Huna would explain it, and therefore he says you can see from that that even so, that some folks would say even when it's Bari Ubari, you would still split it, yeah.
You need both the Shema and Bari Ubari.
Yeah, so we're applying both cases according to him. As long as neither one of them is muhsik, then whether it's Bari Ubari or whether it's Shema or Shema, then yeah.
You need both.
And therefore, you need both parts of the Mishnah to tell us that it applies in both cases.
As opposed to what Rava would say,
and that's okay. Once you have one is that we know one is Shema V'Shema, it means presumably the Mishnah is trying to tell us the other one is also Shema V'Shema for parallelism. No. Fine. Let's continue. Shnan. Let's continue with the next part of the Mishnah. We said Ze'er Megadol or Ze'er Mekatan. We said if one of them says it was the large Eved or field or what have you, and the other one says it was the small one, Yeshava Hamocha Shekatan Macha. We said that the seller has to swear that it's the small one that he sold, and then that's it. He only has to give the small one.
Why just the small one or the big one?
Because he's swearing. He's swearing. You have a case basically. On the face of it, it's a case of motive mixtus, but we're going to have to figure out on Omid Beis. We're going to talk about that. But on the face of it, as you just learned the Mishnah without thinking any more deeply into it, it would seem it's a case of motive mixtus. The other guy is claiming that you sold me the larger Eved, which is worth 100, I'm counterclaiming I only sold you a small Eved, which is worth 50. Typical motive mixtus case. But we'll see on Amud Beis that it can't really be that. At the end of our Amud Beis, we'll see that it's not, but we'll get to that. So Bishleim of the Rabba, so we can understand, according to Rabba, Da'ama Kiyama Sumchus, Shema V'Shema, the Bari Ubari Loi. According to Rabba, who says that Sumchus says Yachloiku only when it's Shema V'Shema, not when it's Bari Ubari.
What's the Shema there with Rabba?
This that the Mishnah says, that if both of them make a Tainus Bari, at the end of in the last case of the Mishnah, we said then the seller has to swear, fine, that works. Mishum Hachi Yeshava. That is why the difference would be that Sumchus would say in that case the Moicher swears as opposed to Shema V'Shema Yachloiku. Right. Fine, because that's according to Rava. That's exactly the difference that Sumchus would say. Elo the Rava Barav Huna Darmach Ein Amas Sumchus Pila Bari Ubari. But according to Rava Barav Huna, who says that Sumchus would hold his din of Yachloiku even if it's Bari Ubari, am I Yeshava Moicher? Why is the Moicher swearing? Yachloiku Mabari Lai. Why don't they just divide it? We figure out the difference between the difference in price between the Eved Gadol and the Eved Katan, and then he gives him half of that.
No need to swear if it's Bari Gabari, basically.
According to Rav Barav Huna, it would seem that not. Yeah, according to Sumchus, anyway. Then there's Moda Sumchus Hechadeik Shvur Deraisa. Yes, but Sumchus will agree that it's different where there is a Shvur Deraisa involved. Where there's a Shvur Deraisa involved, then we don't say that Yachloiku. If we have the ability to solve it using a Shavur Deraisa, then we will do that. How we get to a situation where it's involving Avadim and it's a Shavur Deraisa is what the next piece of Gemara is going to take up. But for the time, in the name of a Kamon, as we're going to say further, we're going to develop this idea how it comes about that in this claim, where one is claiming the larger Eved or the larger field, and the other one is counterclaiming that I only have to give you the smaller one, how do you come about that it's a Shavur Deraisa? So again, we would think on first glance that it's a case of motive mixtus, but now we're going to start developing in the Gemara how that can't be for a number of reasons, and we're going to have to understand. But ultimately, we are going to come out to the conclusion that there is a Shvur Deraisa involved. We are going to come to that conclusion, but we have a little work to do in order to reach that conclusion. But now the Gemara is kind of giving us a preview. Given that later on in the sugya we are going to establish that there is a Shvur Deraisa here, then therefore we can answer Rav Barav Huna, we can answer the objection on Rav Barav Huna, how he would understand the Mishnah, by saying that he would add a further refinement to his understanding of Sumchus. When does Sumchus say Yachloiku?
Yeah.
It's fine, it's Bari Ubari or Shema V'Shema. but only if neither of them is mukhsir, and also only if there's no shvur d'or aisa involved.
Okay, so now the one who's claiming it's a littler evidence is able to, the person who sold it is able to give the smaller one.
Want to give it
shvur.
Yeah.
Just to refresh my mind, why can't the person who's purchasing it make the shvur and take the bigger one?
Because min ha-Torah, there's no such thing as swearing in order to collect. Min ha-Torah,
right.
You swear in order to be potter. The three
right.
cases of shvuos min ha-Torah are what are they? Moed v'mikzas, where there's one aid, or shvuos ha-shomrim. All of them are you swear to be potter. The whole concept of swearing in order to collect is only midrabanan. We're talking shvur d'oraisa up here.
So now we're talking shvur d'oraisa.
Yes.
So he's being potter from giving the bigger one.
From giving the bigger, exactly.
Right.
So now let's start working on that. The Mishnah said, if he has two avodim, one a bigger one and one a smaller one, etc. So the question is, am I Yeshava? Why is the Moicher swearing in the first place? Three reasons why he shouldn't. Number one, Mashatane Le Hodoloy, Mashahodoloy Le Tanai. Number one, the claim and the counterclaim are on two different things. Classic mode of mixed is you owe me 100 and the other person says I only owe you 50 out of that 100. But it's the same, but it's all part of the money is fungible. Here you're talking about, yeah, he's saying the big Evid, he's saying the small Evid. Yeah, it's a case of Tane Chitim, Behoda Legisodim. I claim you owe me X amount of wheat. The other guy counterclaims I owe you a smaller amount of barley. And that's not considered mode of mixed. That's number one. But oid halachu. Number one, it's a case of halach. Because we talked about this briefly the other day, we talked about halach also at the beginning of the Masechta. That when you're moedah b'mikzas, but you're saying halach, what I'm being moedah to you is available right now, as is true in the case of the Eved or the case of the field, then we had a machlokas over there, and we said in particular according to Rav Sheshes. We said there that halach is that once halach is involved, it's taka not moed u'mikzas. You don't have the regular rules of moed u'mikzas involved over there. Moed u'mikzas is only if you're saying yes, I owe you 50, but it's not available right now. Let's say.
As soon as
he says it's available, then there's no moed u'mikzas. So that's the second reason why you shouldn't have to swear.
What did we say over there? That's
because we said that the concept of modi mitzvah is you're saying that I only owe you a portion of what you're claiming, and I'll pay it to you at some later time. The logic we said over there, remember, we said what's the reason why modi mitzvah yeshava is because we figure he's just trying to stall for time. He's saying, since he said halach, then there's obviously no stalling. But oid ein nishvoy na la'avodim. No, actually, we said there's a different reason over there. No, we said the reason is because the part that's already available is considered as if he already gave it to him. So therefore, you end up with... Since it's available, it's considered as if he already gave it to him. Right. Therefore, all you have, in other words, so like this, he says, I only owe you 50 in halach. So that 50 is out of the picture now. Now you have. The other guy is claiming 50. He's counterclaiming, I don't owe you anything. Exactly.
After he gave it to him.
No, not even after he gave it to him. Once it's available, that's what we talked about the other day. Is it enough if the animal is out? Does the animal have to actually be in his possession? Is it enough if it's out in the field as long as it's alive and available, whatever?
So on the first part that he's made it.
Then that's it. It's out of the picture. Yeah.
And the second part kind of says, hey, love.
No, the first part is what he says.
Hey,
the first part is, hey, love. The second part is, he's saying, I don't owe it to you. So therefore, it's over half.
What was the case in the first parak that we said halach?
Well, it's a classic case. Monali biyotcha, you owe me a mona. The other guy says, I only owe you 50 in halach.
As opposed to modi b'mitzvah.
As opposed to modi b'mitzvah is, I owe you 50, but it's not available. Right.
I only owe you 50 the halach, and here's the 50.
It doesn't even have to be here it is, as long as it's available.
Oh,
right.
So modi b'mitzvah is only when it's not
available. It's not available, right. Okay, so that's over here. So it's on whether it's a shesoder, whether it's an eved, it's halach, it's available. But oid, ein nishvoy na avadim. And third of all, anyway, you don't swear on any cases involving avadim, because the whole concept of swearing only applies to metalflin. Avadim are the hekesh between avadim and karka, the famous hekesh, that we've talked about many times. So therefore, what shvur is there anyway? There's no shvur, even classic mode of a mixer. If it's kalka or avodim or shtaris, there's no swearing. So for three reasons, what are you swearing over here? Amarav b'toyne domi. So Rav says, right, you're not talking about he's claiming the actual Eved itself, or the actual field itself. He's claiming the value of it. So I, for example, then, so Rashi says, for example, I gave you X amount of money that you should be machna to me this Eved. You weren't, therefore I want my money back. But they're arguing how much money he gave him. Did he give him the value of a big Eved or the value of a small one? Dmei Eved Gadol, Dmei Eved Katan.
It's dummy.
Right. Dmei Eved Katan, Dmei Eved Gadol, Dmei Eved Katan, Dmei Sadek Dola, Dmei Sadek Katan. So therefore, it's metalpolin. Sure, there's Modi Mikdus. Now that hasn't answered the other question. Well, so that answers the other questions as well. First of all, it's not Tanech Chitim Behodolo Besorim, because he's claiming X amount of money and he's requiring I only owe you Y amount. It's not two different. Right. Number two, there's no Halach, because he's not saying I have the money available right now. And number three, it's not Avadim.
And therefore
it works. By the way, actually, Tosfos actually, no. So what it is actually Rashi understands it not like I said, that I gave you the money to be machneh to me. Rather, Rashi seems to understand it as talking about a shliach and a mishaleach. I gave you money to buy an eved for me, and you didn't buy that eved, therefore I want my money back. Tosfos says that Tosfos says no, because we're talking in Mishnah about a lekeach and about a mocher and a lekeach, not a shliach and a mishaleach. So no, we're talking about, let's say, for example, Rashi. So Tosfos says, let's say he sold him an eved, the money was transferred, he didn't get right the shtar, and it's the kind of place, even though technically you can buy an eved with kesef alone, we're talking about a place where the sale is not considered to be finalized until you write the shtar, and they hadn't written the shtar yet, and now he wants his money back.
Mishapara.
There may be Mishapara, fine, but okay. Shmuel Amar B'Tonik Sus. Shmuel says no. Rather, we're talking about that he's claiming a certain size of clothing. Sus Eved Gadok, Sus Eved Katan. B'Tonik Sus Eved Gadok, Sus Eved Katan. He's claiming the clothing for a large Eved or the clothing for a small Eved. Or Omre Sadek Dola, Omre Sadek Tano. Yeah, or he's claiming the sheaves, the bundles of grain from a large field or the bundles of grain from a small field. Well, the problem with that is, don't you have the same problem as Tanech Chitim Behodolo Besorim? He's saying that the Lekeach is saying, I bought a size, I bought an adult size suit for the Eved. Doesn't matter. No, it's because they're two different suits of clothing. No, money is fungible. For example, if I say that you owe me 100 and you counterclaim I only owe you 50, money is money. But clothes. If I'm saying you sold me an adult size suit, and you're saying I only sold you two different things. Yeah, child size suit, sure, two different things. So Tosfos says that's the point. In other words, when it comes to, for example, grain, you can say, for example, okay, you know, I claim that you sold me the amount of grain that grow in a large field, which is, let's say, 40 bundles. The other guy counterclaims I only sold you the amount of grain that grows in a small field, which is 20. So it's fungible. No, fine, right, of course. But Ksus, yeah, they're two different things. The answer is Kid Omer a Papa Bidi Yalfi Hochanami Bidi Yalfi. Just like Rav Papa said in a different context that we can be talking about where they were attached together, so also here they were attached together. So meaning, in other words, Rashi says it was a complete piece of clothing, but it's still attached, like to the bolt of cloth or whatever. So each one is claiming. So the one is claiming I bought enough.
An adult with a child clothes tied together.
That's what I thought at first also, but it seems like that's not how. It would be very very hard to imagine such a thing. No. So it seems that what we're talking about. I mean, it seems what we're talking about is there's a bolt of cloth over here. The Lekeach is claiming I bought a piece of that cloth large enough to make a suit for the large one. The other one is counterclaiming I only sold you a piece of that cloth small enough to make a piece for the small child. Hachanami b'dialfi said the same thing over here. So therefore, it's not Tanech Chitim Behodolo Besorim. They're both claiming two different sizes of the same cloth. So that. Okay, now the problem, though, becomes Kashalei Rav Hoshi and Midi Ksus Katani. Okay, Rav Hoshi asked. The fact of the matter is the mission didn't say anything about clothes. It said an Eved. Ela Omer Rav Hoshi. Ela Omer Rav Hoshi. Then Shetana Eved Ksusei V'Sodei V'Imreah. No, rather Rav Hoshi says, we have to say the Mishnah is talking about that the Lekeach is claiming I bought an adult Eved along with his clothes. And the other one says, I sold you a child Eved along with his clothes. And therefore, Therefore, so now what you have is now you have the topic of dual. Now you have the concept of dual gul shavua. Once he's obligated, once or not literally with his clothes. No. When we say with his clothes, no.
He can't edit with his clothes. It's to an adult.
No. Hold on.
With cloth to make clothes.
With cloth to make clothes, right? In other words, therefore, now we get into the topic of gil gul shavua that we talked about before. Namely, once you chayav to swear on the metalpelin, once you chayav to swear on the motive mitzvah for the metalpelin, you can do via gil gul shavua. The other guy can say, as long as you're swearing on that, also swear as far as the eved himself, even though an eved himself is not usually something you would have to swear on, you can include that via gil gul shavua. And therefore, on that basis, therefore, and then on that basis, then I'll make you swear on that. So
that's
the concept of gil gul shavua is there, right? Is there, right?
What's the right about it?
The concept of gil gul shavua, the concept that once you make somebody swear on one
thing,
that's daraisa because motive mixed. And the concept of gil gul shavua is also
daraisa. So
everything's daraisa. The concept of gil gul shavua we learned from Soita. The fact that when the husband brings his wife as a soita, that she is made to swear over there before she drinks the water and that she wasn't unfaithful to her husband. Along with that, the Mishnah and soita, you can also include in the shavua that you weren't mizana that while you were an arusa, while you were shemeres yavam, whatever various kinds of things like that, which on their own those would not have been enough to bring her to the bet mitzvah, to the soita. But now that you make her swear on one, you can include other things as well, meish zem, meish acher, etc. Yeah, it's all. Still the question is, what you just asked, as far as the clothing, though, the clothing of a child and the clothing of an adult are two different things. And the answer is, here is where Amar Papa B'Diyalfi, here is where the Papa said his original statement, that this must be talking about where it's all on one bolt of cloth.
And therefore you have
no problem with Tana Chitim Hodele B'Sodim. The claim and the counterclaim are on different pieces of the same object.
Where you see that slaves wore uniforms.
Well, clothes at least.
So they must have been having some kind of a uniform outfit.
Maybe not. Now, the problem with that is, in that case, then according to the Bhoshiya's understanding, so what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? The concept that once you have to swear on metalpelin, then you can include, through gil gul shavua, you can include things like avadim or karka, which by themselves wouldn't be enough. Taneina, we learn that in a Mishnah, in kiddushin. That you have that. They can be schlepped along. Like that, there can be a connection between them. Zikin is like zikr that we learned back in Yivamah. Once you're required to swear on the metalpelin, you can be made to include also in that a shvua on karka or avadim. So we know that already from that Mishnah and Kiddushin. What would be the chiddush of our case of the Mishnah according to the Hoshia's understanding? Of Shmuel. Again, if we go with Rav's understanding of the situation that they're arguing about the value of it, then that's fine. There's no Zerkikin involved over here. But according to Shmuel, according to Hoshi's understanding of Shmuel, then yeah.
And the problem would be that
we know already the concept of Zerkikin. There's no Chiddush in our Mishnah. Rav Shesha says you have to say that our Mishnah goes like Rav Meir. So Amar Avda Kimetalpun Dami. Rav Meir says further down on the other that an Eved. Well, up until now.
It went fine until we found it in condition.
Yeah. So if we say that our Mishnah goes like Rav Meir, Dama Avda Kimetalpun Dami, he says that an Eved is not considered like Kafka. An Eved, in fact, is considered like Metalpun. Well, there you go then. What we were saying before, that you don't swear on Avadim, according to Rav Meir, you do swear. Because Rav Meir says no, and therefore you swear on them, and therefore you don't need to.
No, I mean, that's.
Fine, he doesn't agree with that heckish. He doesn't agree with that. He uses that heckish to teach us a different din, whatever. So the Mishnah works out. The Mishnah works out. Right, then we don't need to say ksus at all. Then we can say that we don't need. They're not arguing about ksus. They're not arguing about domim at all. They're arguing about the actual eved. Tosfos points out that actually, what about the karka? What about the case of karka in the Mishnah? In fact, according to the Meir,
the
same thing. L'chura, the same din that we don't swear on avodim also applies to karka. The answer is no. If we say that you swear on Avadim, then he would say you also swear on Karka. The only kind of thing that you would not is Shtoris.
Okay.
So therefore, so...
Reb Meir,
Okay. But, again, Reb Meir would agree that the hekesh between avodim and karka applies to other things. Tosfos says, for example, the concept that avodim are acquired, the keset, the shtar of a chazaka, just like karka, that he would agree.
Swearing
is what he disagreed with. Because it boils down to where do we know the concept that you don't swear on karka or avodim or shtaris is from a hekesh but from a klal or prat or klal. But Reb Meir instead would understand it, and we learned this at the end of Bava Kamma, not using klal or prophet klal, but rather using ribui or mir to ribui, and therefore the only thing he'd exclude is shtaris. Whereas the Chachamim, who disagree with him, would say also that avodim and karka.
Why would he disagree on the fact that it's ribui, mir,
and ribui? Because there's two different ways of looking. When the Torah gives us a general statement, a specific, and another general statement, do we darshan it as klal or prophet klal, or do we darshan it as mir to ribui, ribui, mir, ribui, mir to ribui, in which case we include much more things. We only exclude the one thing that is the most dissimilar to what's mentioned in the pasuk, as opposed to klal prat klal. Okay, you need that have to have a lot in common with what it says in the pasuk. We've learned about this concept many times before, yeah.
And that's why you would...
Okay. Fine, don't you still have the problem of tanei chitim v'hodoloi b'sodim? Fine, you're taking care of the avodim problem. But
what's the difference? What's the
issue? Because he's taking care of the avodim problem, which you still have. If he's claiming the large eved and he's counterclaiming the small eved, they're two different things. Tanei chitim v'hodoloi b'sodim.
Okay.
But they're not interchangeable, though.
Haksarim and chitim, that's two different species.
And this is two different bodies.
It's
two different bodies. The answer is, Sovala k'ram gamliel. In fact, we could say that a mayor holds like Ram Gamliel, the Tznan, as you're learning a Mishnah in Shavuos, Tane Chitim Behoda Sodim Potter, Ram Gamliel Machayim. That Ram Gamliel, in fact, holds, that is considered a case of Moedim Mitzvah. So there you go. So it's Moedim
Mitzvah.
So if a mayor holds like that, then there you go. He holds like that, so therefore, yeah. Okay. Akati Helachu, what about the third problem that we had before, that it's Helach? What about the fact that the Eved or the Kauka is available right now to be given, and therefore, we have the machlokas amaroyim before whether you have to swear by modim mitzvahs in the case of halach. But if you say that not, and the halacha is faka that not, then what do you do? Then how does that fit with our mishnah? Amar Rava. So Rava answers you can answer the question that you can answer that there's no halach over here because the thing that you're claiming is taken, the thing that you're claiming you sold is taken not available in its full form anymore. In the case of the Eved, for example, it can be that in between his hand got chopped off, or there was some other kind of irreversible damage to him. So therefore, the Moicher is saying, I sold you an Eved Katan, fine. But right now, this Eved Katan is now missing his hand. Therefore, it's not Halach anymore. Therefore, now I owe you the value of an Eved Katan. Or I owe you another Eved Katan, whatever. But nevertheless, it could be.
You have to answer the
same thing with the field. It can be that between when he sold it now, when the case is coming to Beis Din, it can be that he dug ditches and pits and whatever in it, so it's not in its original state anymore. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it's not halach either. So if we put all that together, that's not halach, and Reb Meir holds you swear on cases of avodim or karka, and that he also holds tarnichit and mahodil adisardim, then our Mishnah works out very well. The problem with that now is, don't we find elsewhere that a mayor holds the other way around? This that you just wanted to say, that a mayor holds that avodim are not like karka, we find a different place where Reb Meir Befeirush says that avodim are like karka. Yeah, it's not, namely we learned in Bava Kamma, gozel behemoth is skin. If a person stole an animal, and by the time he returned it, it got old, so it's not worth as much as it was before, avodim is skin. Or he sold avodim and they got old. He stole avodim and they got old. Meshalem kishat hagzela. He has to pay according to the value of how much they were worth at the time of the gzela because they're metalpilin. Reb Meir omer b'avodim omer laharei shalach lefanecha. And Reb Meir says that no, when it comes to an eved is like karka. Karka ain't a nigzel. Land cannot be considered to be stolen because it always remains where it is. Same thing, an eved. And avodim don't stay where they are. Nevertheless, so if we say the hekesh between them and karka, then the same din would apply to them. And eved is, in other words, in the sense, when we say karka and a nigzel, means that even if a person steals character from somebody else, it never becomes his kinyan, in that he should be able to keep it and just pay the value. The actual object itself, the actual character itself, has to be returned. Same thing with an eved, the mayor would say. So therefore, ba'avodim omer lo harei shalach lefanecha. Therefore, when it comes to an eved, the gazlan can say harei shalach lefanecha. Here's your eved back. He's worth less than he was before. Not my problem. The eved was considered to be in your rishus the whole time, as opposed to according to the chacham. In fact, if we say the gazlan was cleaner the eved, and therefore now he has to make good on the value of him. If he's now worth less because he got old, then he has to either return the eved and make up the difference, or pay the full difference, whatever. So therefore, we see the mayor of the holds that about him Arlach Kaifer. The answer is Holei Kasha. That's not a problem because Kedemachlef Rabbah Baruchu Batani. Because in fact, we can say that the correct version is like the way that Rabbah Baruchu flipped around the two opinions and taught the Mishnah as follows: Rav Meir Omer Kedemashan Kshatag Zeila V'Chom Omer Milay Rabbadim Harei Shalach Panecha. Fakir, Rav Meir would be the one who says that Rabbadim are like Metalpilin, that therefore we have to pay Kshatag Zeila like any Metalpilin. The Chachamim would be the one who are saying that the Eved is like Karka, and therefore Harei Shalach Panecha, just as if he stole land and is now returning it. So therefore, fine, Rav Meir can be consistent. Yeah. Okay. The problem with that is now, Elam, in my discovered Rav Meir, Makshinim Taukala Eved, fine, but how do we know, though, that Rav Meir holds that of this heckish between Taukan and Eved, Ma Eved Nishboyin Ach Taukan Nishboyin, where we're saying that just as with an Eved, where an Eved is Metalpilin, then you have to swear, so also with Taukan, you have to swear. Dilma Eved Hu Dinishboyin Avala Taukaloi. Maybe fine, you have to swear on an Eved, because an Eved is Metalpilin. Because again, the case where the Torah talks about the case where the Torah talks about having to swear a Modim Mitzvah involves Metalpilin. I'll call Rapet, I'll Shur, I'll Hamur, I'll Sel, I'll Salma, those are all Metalpilin. So fine, we can say an Eved is Metalpilin, according to the mayor. But Kauka is not Metalpilin. So who says that you should have to swear on Kauka? The answer is Lois Sakadaita. You can't think that way. You have to say that Rav Meir says that even by Kauka, if you're Modim Mitzvah, you would have to swear. D'tanya, as we learn in a Brisa, Hamachlus part of a Hamor V'Yolda, if you exchanged a cow for a donkey and it gave birth, like in our Mishnah, B'chein HaMoicha Shivcha V'Yolda, or if you sold your Shivcha and she gave birth, Zoyim B'Shursi V'Zesh Shoytik, but now a difference from our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, you had each one of them is making a claim. In the Brisa, the one says that it was in my Rishus that it took place. V'zesh Shoysik, and the other one is quiet. He doesn't answer anything. Then Zocha. Then the one who said Zayim Rishusi is the one who Zocha. Zayim any day v'zayim. Zayim any day v'zayim any day. If both of them say I don't know, Yachloiku, then they split it. Now comes the key part. If each one of them says it was Rishusi, each one is making a tainus bori, that it was definitely in my Rishus, Yoda, then the seller swears that it was in his Rishus, that it gave birth. Because your mayor said any case where you swear Shavur Satarda is always, like we were talking about before, is always you swear in order to be potter from paying. The concept of swearing in order to collect is Midrabanan. Divri Rav Meir. Wait, no, we haven't seen yet. Now we're going to see. The Chachamim say, no, you do not swear on cases of Abadim or on cases of Kauka. Now, why do they need, now we were talking about an Eved, fine. We were talking about a Shivcha. But so fine, we can understand why they have to mention that you should know this that you're saying Yeshava doesn't apply because we're talking about an Eved over here. But why are they mentioning the concept of Karka? Why are they mentioning that you don't swear on Karka? That's irrelevant to the discussion over here.
If you say that Karka.
Lav Miklal that a mayor sovereign Shmoyin. Doesn't that imply that a mayor would say you do swear on Karka? There's our proof then. Because the Chacham say you don't. Means that evidently that a mayor is.
And therefore there's a contradiction before.
No, okay, then there's no contradiction. Then it means our Mishnah works out very well. He says I sold the large field. I sold the small field. You say I bought the large field.
Right.
It's a case of Karka. And we said in the Mishnah, Yeshava, that if both of them are making a tainus bori, Yeshava. Fine, that fits with what we're inferring to be Rameir's position.
So
you swear on Karka.
Position of Rameir. I mean, well, after the Asbatha.
No, yeah, yeah, well, right. As far as the case of Avodim, it's, you know, yeah. So therefore, that seems to be implying that Ramei or Taka holds you do swear on Karka. No, the Gemara says no. Mimai, who says that that's how you should understand it? Maybe the Chacham are only mentioning Karka to point out a similarity, to say just as. Maybe Chakir, the Chacham are saying this. You agree with us that you don't swear on cases involving Karka, Modu Mixas and Karka. Avodim should be the same kind of thing. Why are you making a distinction between Avodim and Karka? So it's okay. They're bringing in Karka not to say that a mayor disagrees with them on it, but okay, to say you agree with us on Karka, you should agree with us on Avodim as well. And in that case, we don't have any reason to think that a mayor holds you swear on cases involving Karka. Okay, there. And in fact, I can prove that we can show that, in fact, a mayor says that you don't swear on cases involving Karka. It's not, because we learn it in a Mishnah, also in Shavuos. The mayor says there are things that are in a certain sense like the karka because they're still attached to the ground, the ainin katarka, but they are not completely like the ground in the sense that you'd be chayiv shavua on them. The ain chachamim moedim loy, but the chachamim don't agree to that kind of case. They say you still wouldn't swear on those. Kesad, what is the case? Yud kfanim to unus masati loch. If one person says to the other one, I gave you 10 grapevines that were full of fruit. Different proportion talk about, are we talking about that he means he gave it to him to work them or the shomer or whatever? Okay, that's not relevant for our purpose. The other one says it was only 5. So it's a case of moedim mitzvahs. Rav Meir makes him chayev shvur because he's moedim mitzvahs. Where the Chachamim say, no, the grapes are attached to the ground. They're like the karka, and you don't swear on the karka, and you don't swear on these grapes either, or on these grapevines. And Rabbi Yosi b'Chanina says, the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is dafka when these grapes are ready to be harvested. The mayor would hold that they're considered as if they're already harvested, therefore they're already, as if they were detached from the ground, therefore as if they're already metabolin. And the Chacham would say they're still considered attached to the ground. But
how can they be attached to the ground when they're already harvested?
No, they're about to be harvested. They're ready to be harvested. They haven't been harvested yet. They haven't been harvested yet. Now, the point, what do we get from all of that? We see. If they still needed to be attached to the ground, if they were still in the middle of their growing, Rav Meir would agree that you don't swear on them because they're mechobel karka. And even if he didn't hold this concept of anavim of kibsuris damian, fine. But the karka itself, evidently, he agrees the whole time. Of course, you don't swear on the karka itself. That's why you have to mention grapevines where the grapes are about to be harvested. But we see Rav Meir Taka holds you don't swear on karka. What are you doing with our Mishnah then? Okay. So we can't explain the Mishnah that way. We cannot say Rav Sheshet, we just went through half the Omud with Rav Sheshet saying that the Mishnah is according to the mayor and going through the ins and outs of that. Okay. Now we're saying it doesn't work anymore. Doesn't work.
From this last case.
Based on this last case, yes. So Ela La'olam Kidrav Hoshia. No, we have to explain the case according to Rav Hoshia, at least given Shmuel's statement that they're arguing about Ksus or about Omrim, that we're talking about, that the one is claiming the Eved along with clothes that fit him, and the other one is counterclaiming a small Eved or a large field with its crops, a small field with its crops, etc., and that it's an issue, and we left that before because we had the problem that sort of the kashalach zokekin. So we asked before on Rav Hoshia, then what's the chiddush of our Mishnah? If all the Mishnah is trying to tell us is that once you have to swear on the talpulin, and you have to swear on the karka that goes along with them also, fine, we know that from the Mishnah in Kiddushin. What's the chiddush of our Mishnah? The answer is istrich, because we still need it in our case. Sakrat chamin ksus eved ke eved dami. Oimre sadek sadek dami, because you might think, maybe the clothes of the Eved are considered like the Eved itself. Maybe it's not Mela. If you have, for example, I'm claiming from you Metalpilin an unrelated Karka, fine, Zoykikin. That's what the Mishnah tells us in Kiddushin. You would think in this case, maybe the clothes are sort of bottled to the Eved, and the crops are sort of bottled to the Karka. And therefore, maybe you shouldn't have to swear on it, because you don't swear on cases involving Avodim, and you don't swear on cases involving Karka. So Mash Malon, that would be the Chiddush. Since there is the Talpulin involved over here, then we do apply the rule of Zerkin.
Right. I mean, it would be hard to consider up close a budding kakarka.
We might think that they're sort of bubbles. Yeah. Okay.
And that's the chiddush.
That's the chiddush. So therefore, so we do go after all that Rav Hoshea is understanding of the Mishnah. Okay.
Right.
Now, to finish off, the Mishnah had finished off that in the case of the two avodim or the two fields, if both of them say, I don't know, then we say yachloku. Again, hamani sumchuzi. Again, this part of the Mishnah has to be according to sumchuz. Dama momen amutabu safek chokin, who says that if you have a safek on money, then you divide it. The problem is ema sefer, zayma birshusi v'zayma birshusi yishav amrechash birshusi yolda. What about the part of the Mishnah?
Bari.
That's it. Sorry, we're not referring back to the Mishnah, actually. Rashi says we're referring back to the Braisa that we quoted before. The Braisa that we quoted before, Machas part of a Hamor v'Yolda, we said, Zeh me b'shusa v'zeh shoysik, or Zeh me in yadeh v'zeh me in yadeh, yachloku. Yeah, so the reason is because the Gemara is mentioning now b'shusi v'zeh me b'shusi and calling it the Sefer. In the Mishnah, it was the Resha. So yeah.
It has to be the
so it's the Braisa we're talking about. So we're saying the Braisa is according to Sumpus, rather. The Braisa is according to Sumpus, but then what about the part that says Zayim b'Rishusi v'Zayim b'Rishusi? If both of them are making a tainus bari, Yishav al Moichus b'Rishusi Yolda, then we say that the Moichus swears that it was born in his Rishus, and then he's entitled to keep it. The question is, although Rav Bar Avuna, Dama Ein, almost Sumpus, I feel a bari or bari. If according to Rav Bar Avuna, who says that Sumpus holds even by bari or bari, you split it, you don't, so then, Amai Yishav Amaychus. Why is the Amaychus swearing? It's the case of body or body. Yachloiku. Yachloiku Mabalya. It should say Yachloiku. And the answer is, again, like we said before, Moda Sumchus Hechadeka Shvur Deraisa. Sumchus will agree when there is a Shvur Deraisa involved, or Dekotel Yodaka Derava. And like Rava said before, that we're talking about, there's no Halach over here because the Evid's hand, or the Shivcha's hand, actually says whatever, was chopped off, or the field had ditches or whatever dug in it.
But there's
no halach. It's not considered a different kind of taina. Tana chid mahir levisarid. Rashi says because the shivcha and the vlad are considered one body, because the one is saying that it took place before the sale, and therefore I bought the shivcha along with the vlad, and therefore we have murder mitzvah. And again, Rameyer, we established before, says that you would swear in cases involving avadim. So it all works out. So that
what?
Yeah. Yeah. So
what's the question?
Oh, he's saying so it's not halach. No, because they're not arguing about the ownership of the shivcha. They're arguing over the ownership of the vlad. It's true that over Yerachima, but after he's born, he's not Yerachima anymore. No, it's the lachatchila when they arranged the sale, it wasn't on the basis of she's pregnant necessarily. He was selling in the actual evidence. He was selling in the actual shivcha. So no, it wouldn't be considered. No, you still need that the shivcha herself has lost some of the body part that's not going to return. Not just that she gave birth to the blood.
If she gave birth to the blood.
No, because what Ventin was saying is since Uber Yerachima, who since the baby is considered to be as if he was a limb of his mother, then on the face of it, once she gives birth, already you have, isn't it the equivalent of katal yada, that the hand has been chopped off? But no, first of all she can become pregnant again. But second of all, because the argument isn't over the shivcha herself, the argument is over the baby, and from that point of view the shivcha is the same shivcha before and after the birth. They're not arguing about the shivcha. No, he sold them the shivcha. He sold them the shivcha. The question is about the vlad.
Yeah.